Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Anna Geary is here now, former Cork Camogie player and presenter of Why Girls Quit Sport for the third instalment in our summer fitness series. Hello Anna, good
Hi,
to have
Claire.
You back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So last week we were talking about starting small if you've been on the sofa for a little longer than you would have liked. And this week we're looking at what motivates you, which is why we're about to play this.
I feel like I need a set of stairs around the place that I can just run up and down. And again, straight away, because when you hear music, like we heard Tina Turner a few moments ago, Proud Mary is one of my favourite songs. Normally for the afters of a wedding, though, or a night out, as opposed to a gym, because I might look a bit crazy. But motivation can come from loads of different sources, and music is such a big one. Like, there's so much research to show that music can help us extend the amount of time we exercise, can improve our performance, can put us in better form, can distract us from that perceived fatigue that we can feel when we exercise. So focusing on the type of music that you actually use when you're working out can actually have a big impact on your actual exercise.
And some people will not use music at all.
At all. And some people don't like it, and it's each to their own. But for me, I find that if I'm not in the mood to do a good workout, I'm like, oh, I'm dreading it. The type of music that I can put on at the beginning in my warm-up can have a massive impact on my mood. So I'll put on cheesy 90s music, and like something like that will get me going. A bit of nostalgia that, like, I mightn't even be lifting the weights, but I'm starting to get in better form. The dopamine hit is coming. So, like, really for me, when you think about music and your workout, there's two things. It's the tempo that you're looking for and the type of workout that you're doing. So you kind of want to match them, because if you're trying to do something yoga, the last thing you want is Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses in the background. So it is about picking your music.
Okay, well, the 90s era is one that you use, isn't
yes.
it? Because the dance music, and I'd do this myself if I was running, high tempo, 90s dance, 90s cheese.
Cheese.
Tracks like this one.
I can just picture myself running down the canal in Salins. I'm coming up to that last kilometre. I don't want to be there, but I know I'll feel good afterwards. And this comes on, and it does help me keep going. But the challenge for me is sometimes if you hear a really strong bit of music and it's a bit faster than you'd like to be running, it's to slow yourself down, because we all hear that music, suddenly you're doing that kilometre in a lot faster than
yeah,
you should have.
I was just going to say that too. There is a science behind it, isn't mm-hmm. there? That you will try and match the beat.
Tempo.
So there's a danger that you might push yourself
yes.
too hard.
Absolutely. So that's why I'm saying to people, take the time actually to make your own playlist. Now, the likes of Spotify would do they do a preloaded, depending if it's resistance training or cardio training. But if you could actually take a little bit of time and put in the prep into your music, so whether it's weight training, sometimes like, so Rag and Bone Man, Human, for me, it's a really good beat, strong tempo. So if I'm doing like upward rows or something, I'll match the beat. Just it'll keep me in like good time, good technique. Whereas then if I'm doing something more HIIT training based, I want that more upbeat. Like again, like Adagio with Strings is one of those. If I'm coming to the end of a workout and I want to push myself, something like that will come on. Like, did you ever... were you ever working out, right, and you hit like shuffle on a Spotify and, you know, there's really good up-tempo music, suddenly like an 80s ballad comes on.
And you can't. You just
and you
can't
have to just
continue.
Scramble, exactly.
Yeah.
You have to physically stop to change the music.
So the advice is set up a playlist that's going to work
yes.
for you.
So think about like Couch to 5K. To me, I think a playlist could actually be really valuable. So when you hear Rhythm as a Dancer come on, you know you're upping your tempo by 20-30% for the duration of that song. Then put a slower pace song after it so you can slow down to match the tempo and increase, decrease. Could be a really good way to improve your fitness and your running mm-hmm. or whatever weight training that you're doing. So, you know, create your own little Couch to 5K using music.
It's a great distraction though, isn't it? Because if you have a song on that you don't like, and this has happened to me before, you start feeling the aches and pains a bit more, don't
100%.
You?
Like, I can't run with nothing in my ears, whether it's a podcast, an audiobook, music. Because number one, to distract myself from the heavy breathing that's probably happening as I'm running and the fatigue that you're experiencing. Like, even in Ireland's Fittest Family, when they're doing Hang Tough or Backs Against the Wall, we try and tell her, well, I certainly do, to tell them to distract themselves, sing a song in their heads, think about something to distract from what you're actually doing. Because again, it takes away from the fatigue and that subsequent pain that you can often be feeling to push through it.
They're not allowed to listen to music though, are they?
No, they're not. Well, I tell them sing songs in their heads,
actually. It's all part of the cruelty. I know you're not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but you do use one of her songs, yeah, don't you? Can we have a listen to Shake It Off? We like this in our house too.
Whatever it is with
we always dance. Do a mad kitchen dancing in our house today with yeah, the children. Everyone loves it.
And you know what? Even around the kitchen, like if you were dancing non-stop to the length of that song, 3 minutes something, I mean, you would work up a sweat. That's one of those songs of whatever it is about it. I just, if I'm in bad form and I'm about to do a workout, I'll put it on. And it just kind of, I suppose it neutralises the mood and helps set me up.
So beyond music then, Anna, let's talk a little bit more about motivation. What are the other things that you would use to get yourself motivated and keep you going through the workout?
Yeah, I think motivation, there are such things as positive and negative. So let's take a positive, for example. To me, workout gear is really important. We talked already before in previous weeks about investing in good quality runners and rain jackets. But for a lot of us, we'll often work out in clothes that we wouldn't be seen in public with. So it's the baggy t-shirt with the hole in it, or those leggings that you have to keep pulling up. And it can be really distracting in a negative way for your training. So I think investing in good gear, bright colours, fits well, is flattering, will make you feel better about yourself. Because ultimately when you're in a workout, if there's mirrors around you in a gym or if you're running, the last thing you want to be doing is being distracted by fixing your sports bra or pulling up your leggings or looking at yourself going, oh God, look at me. So that does have an impact on the quality of your training and how consistent you are with it. So for me, investing in gear that will last you months, if not years, is really positive. From a negative point of view, I think the type of goals we set for ourselves, particularly around summertime, we spoke about it last week about the aesthetic. And sometimes if you're setting yourself an aesthetic goal, depending on your stress levels, your lifestyle at that time, you know, your emotions, what you've eaten in the days leading up to it, and you step on a scales. And even though you've been consistent with your training, maybe consistent with your food, and suddenly the scales doesn't move, and suddenly that gets thrown out the window, then all the good work, oh well, it obviously didn't pay off because I didn't lose that pound a week that I was going
you
for.
You don't weigh yourself, do you?
I don't have a weighing scales. I just, to me, and it's not that I have a negative relationship with it, I just think it's something that can turn me in a different negative direction towards exercise. So for me, it's about my clothes. And not even the size of my clothes. It's the how I feel in whatever clothes I'm wearing. I could be a size 8 or a size 12 in a pair of jeans, depending where I shop. Mm-hmm. So I think we confine ourselves too much to numbers. So whether that's on a scale or in a jean size. So I would say to people, if you have a goal, move away from the aesthetic. Like if you want to run a kilometre a bit faster or lift weights that are a bit heavier, you ultimately are going to lean up and reduce the body fat.
Okay.
So it's just about not having it as your focus.
Anna, we've got to go. Thank you very much.
Thanks
indeed
so much,
for
Claire.
Joining us. Anna Geary there. That's